This is an encore presentation of Jefferson State of Mind on KCNR.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your
soul.
My way of life.
Yes. Settles in your soul, that's for sure. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Janet Chandler, how are you?
I'm ready to go.
Wayne Carpenter, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
And this is Terry Raposo. We are Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E. We're broadcasting live from downtown Reading at KCNR Studios. 96.5 FM, you can listen in where the music does sound better. 1460 AM, we are your talk radio, and we're streaming live on KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com, streaming live and streaming all over the world. And this is a continuing soiree. I just wanted to get my co-host upset here because she insists that soirees are only at night. However, I am wearing sunglasses right now in the studio to prove to her that I can have a soiree whenever I want to.
Are you wearing them because you're hungover?
Yeah.
No, not really. It was your birthday, not mine.
Happy birthday to you.
No. I already heard it once and my ears are still hurting.
Oh, come on.
Mine are bleeding.
Hey, I got a future.
You do, but it's not in singing.
Gee, many Christmas.
I know. We're really on you today.
Okay, we are broadcasting live at KCNR1460.com. So you can tune into us there on the radio. And if you have a question or a comment, and I'm sure that we'll be, have a few of those today, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. Anyway, because I was thinking ahead of myself, Janet Chandler came to my house on Saturday and stood in my garage and ranted only the way Janet can, because Janet has a way of doing it that is classy and eloquent. And when she makes a point, it also can be very funny. So she went to see Paul Preston, I guess, at the New California deal that they had.
I took one for the team.
I saw a little of it and on a podcast, and I thought, this guy's serious. Anyway, I'm going to turn this over to Janet because Janet can only do what Janet can do. If you folks are listening in, you have a question or comment, again, 605-4567, 530-605-4567. And Janet, tell birthday boy what's going on over here.
Well, birthday boy missed the meeting, and I'm so sorry he did, because I was sitting next to another person, and the eye rolls, I think we were knocking eyeballs against each other. The eyeballs were rolling so bad. First of all, everyone knows that I am totally in favor of a state split. I think it's the only solution to our problems. New California ain't it. There are so many problems with this one. I think what bothers me more than anything is the number of people who were eating up what Paul Preston had to say without using their critical thinking skills, without thinking about what he was saying, without questioning what he was saying, without looking at what was going on. State split, great, perfect, but Paul Preston does not have all the answers. And if you are following him blindly, you need to do some research. He keeps talking about the fact that they are going to do their state split based on the West Virginia model. Well, if you know anything about history, West Virginia left the state of Virginia when Virginia seceded from the Union. They seceded. They politically, officially left. They departed. So Paul Preston says that because of the bad things that California has done, they are in a state of insurrection. And therefore, New California has the right to leave Old California. Well, the problem with that is, no, California is not in a position of insurrection, because a lot of the things that California is doing are bad, are wrong. They are outside the Constitution. They are questionably illegal. But insurrection is very specific. And I'm looking at the dictionary, the Noah Webster American Dictionary of the English Language from 1828, and that is the dictionary that contains the definition that the founding fathers used for their founding documents. Insurrection, a rising against civil or political authority, the open and active opposition of a number of persons to the execution of law in a city or state. So a number of persons. It doesn't say that a state can be in insurrection. And obviously, California is not. We still consider ourselves to be part of the union.
Now, this is the legislative body, to make it clear.
Yes. Well, I suppose you could say, well, maybe Gavin Newsom is in a state of insurrection, or maybe this person or that person. Okay, fine, but that's not the state of California. So you cannot, with a broad brush, say the state of California is under insurrection and therefore we're leaving. Well, that's not how it works. So we have a problem with definitions. Then if you begin with a faulty premise, then everything that follows is faulty. So the entire state of New California, based on the fact that California is in insurrection, it all falls apart.
Yeah, I got a phone call from Paul Preston about 6 months ago, maybe 8 months ago, and we had a discussion about this where he needed clarity because he didn't quite have clarity on it. First of all, as Janet said, this doesn't raise the level of insurrection. And when the state of Virginia seceded, it was the legislative body that seceded, their senators, state senators, their governor, and their assembly, which they called their state house of representative. What they said is, United States government, we don't want any more of your money. Our particular, if we're going to make our own money, our particular state has not done that. In fact, it's begging for money. The state of Virginia said we will form our own militia, our own army. We don't want protection from foreign countries or anybody else with your army. The state of California has never done that. State of California said, the state of Virginia said we will not recognize the laws in the United States because we can make our own laws, which, you know, if you folks in New California already think you're in New California, I guess you can drive any speed limit you want or whatever your self-appointed, getting ahead of ourselves here, wherever your self-appointed senators and assemblies agree that the speed limit should be or whatever the case may be. Anyway, so the idea of having it so far wrong, and when I explained it to Paul Preston, his comment to me was, well, I never understood it that way. And I said, by the way, you had somebody speak at the Board of Supervisors, who is one of your main people, saying that the West Virginia became a state in 1860. It was 1863. Also, that the state of Virginia, being in secession because they had no legislative body, did not have to follow Article 4, Section 3 of the United States Constitution, because that says that you have to have the simple majority of the state legislative body where you want to either leave or state split, whatever, or create a state. You also have to have the simple majority of the Congress of the United States. There was no state legislature. Remember? The state legislature in Virginia left. They said, we want nothing to do with you. I mean nothing to do with you. Our state's never said that. We're begging for money. We're begging for, you know, to have the protection of the United States Army and the armed forces. So anyway, with that, Janet, go ahead and continue. But that clarity with him, and he still goes back to the same thing. That's what blew my mind, is he understood that he was in error. As you're saying, with insurrection, that is an error. That's the definition. the state legislative body hasn't risen to that. Go ahead.
There are a lot of errors in what I heard on Thursday from Paul Preston. I took 12 pages of written notes, 8.5 by 11. I was frantically writing, trying to get down the essence of everything that he said. And it was quite disjointed. And a half-truth here and a half-truth there sounds good, but it does not constitute a whole truth anywhere. So what he thinks is going to happen is that we're going to, well, they already have. They say that they have already launched this state by sending declarations to the federal government. And he made the statement, the very first thing he said, he got up in front of the group and he said, well, I want you to know President Trump says hi, as if President Trump is backing this. President Trump is going to make it happen. And all we have to do is keep sending declarations and President Trump is going to make us the 51st state. I'm not quite sure where he thinks President Trump gets that authority.
That doesn't work that way.
Obviously not. Yeah.
Yeah, we just explained Article 4, Section 3. Yeah.
And even if you want to go to Article 4, Section 4, which he says that California is in default of that, well, that's the place where we are guaranteed a Republican form of government. And he says that California does not have a Republican form of government because we have a monoparty. Well, how did let's put aside election fraud. I'm not even going to bring that in here. How did California end up with a mono party? The vote of the people.
A Republican form of government.
Yeah, they voted. The people in L.A. County voted for their Democrat assembly people and state senators. They voted for what they wanted, and it just turns out that they voted heavily Democrat. That's a Republican form of government. They chose their representatives. So how can California be in default of giving us a Republican form of government? Apparently, then, the next thing that's going to happen is that President Trump is going to unilaterally declare that the new California people are now in charge of the seat of California.
How did they get elected?
Oh,
that's a great question.
They were not
appointed,
but the county representatives for New California,
who were chosen by,
I have no idea, appointed your assembly and state senator people. I don't know how that's Republicanism. Because I was not given a ballot.
Okay, so let me get this straight.
They weren't on a ballot, were they?
Yeah.
Not on my ballot.
I think that there's supposed to be an election happening for New California, and you're going to go and you can vote for somebody for your state senator and your state assembly person in New California, but you have to show ID to people who you don't even know who are putting together an election for a state that doesn't exist. And where's the capital? Is it a P.O. box?
And where do you go to vote?
Well, these are
and
questions.
And who's protecting my vote?
Yeah, these are questions. They were all excited about this upcoming election, which, I don't know.
Okay, clarify the upcoming election for folks.
Well, it's going to take place, and everybody's going to vote on their assembly.
On New California or Old California?
Well, Old California apparently will just be Sacramento, Bay Area, and L.A.
Oh,
that's it. Everything else will be New California. So we're all going to vote. And I'm not quite sure when that was taking place, in April, or maybe it was May, or maybe we're changing it, and they were trying to put together voting places. But how do I sign up to vote?
Well, I know that Paul Preston did say that he was voted and appointed as governor of New California.
Oh, I don't think he was voted in.
Well, he may not have been just appointed.
Well, there's a letter here that...
This is crazy.
There's a letter here that he sent to Mr. Donald J. Trump, President of the United States, and it is a petition request for federal intervention because California is so far off the rails that they want the president to come in and help them. And it is signed by the Honorable Robert Paul Preston, Governor pro tempore of the Provisional Government of New California.
So we have a shadow government now in California?
I guess we do. It's so shadowy that I haven't seen it.
But well, I mean, I don't. That's not even really funny. I mean,
shadow
governments are highly illegal.
It's scary.
Strong insurrection.
It's scary, and he kept referencing things that President Trump is doing, and he would say, and we all know why he's doing that. It's to get us closer to our statehood, and he keeps talking about how President Trump is working and to make this happen, and then. When he recognizes all of these declarations from the great state of New California, then he is going to step in and appoint Paul Preston as the governor and recognize the new state of California?
How can the president doesn't have power to do that?
No, he doesn't.
What?
I think that's pretty obvious, but apparently not
to Paul
Preston.
People are swallowing this stuff.
Yes, they are. They were very excited about all of the things that are happening and how soon it is that this whole thing is going to occur. And I'm sitting there thinking, is this a cult or just a person who is terribly ill-informed?
Oh, well, no, he's not ill-informed. You know, from what I understand, he's charging like $250 to go to their convention. That $250 to go to a convention to see this, and there's a special guest, and they can't tell you
who the special guest
because
is.
Of security. Now, I want to set everybody straight on this. If there has been rumors that Paul Preston's bringing in the president, there has been on his website the president sewing on, which is photoshopped, the 51st flag. Oh, you have it in front of you.
Got a picture of it.
The 51st flag, and the president's sewing that on. Where the president doesn't have jurisdiction to even do this. The president's coming in, and they've got to be secretive about it. I want to give you a hint, New California folks. If the president's going someplace, everybody knows he is. Their security will be thick as anything you can even imagine. He doesn't have to hide that he's going someplace. And for a $250, and by the way, they tell you the location when you send them the money. I mean, I just can't even believe that people, and to me, again, going back to this self-appointed assembly person, I know that we have a senator here in Shasta County, and that senator stood up and said, I'm the senator for Shasta County. I didn't vote for the guy. I mean, what the hell are these people thinking, and how does any of this have any kind of sanity to it?
How did they get the voter roll?
I have no idea. And how are they? You'd think that there's an election coming up for New California. We're going to vote for our assembly and our Senate.
And show your ID.
And our president. Yeah, and show our ID.
I want to see their candidate statements.
Well,
I mean, come on. If we're going to do it, let's do it.
Maybe
right.
I want to run.
There
how do
go.
I get to be on the slate?
I want to run for governor of New California.
Yeah.
I do. I want to run.
There is no transparency. I cannot tell you how many times during this 3-hour presentation.
No.
3 hours from 2 to 5.
Oh, well, you deserve a crown in heaven.
I do. I deserve lots of bring me chocolate. Bring me chocolate.
We've got our producer laughing.
During this time, questions would be asked, and he would say, well, I can't tell you that. Well, we can't discuss it. Yes, it's a secret. Well, I know, but
I can't tell you.
Yes.
And you're on a need-to-know basis.
At one point, someone did ask the question, well, if you're the governor, do we have a governor? Who is it? Was someone elected governor? And Mr. Preston stood there at the podium with his smirk and just kind of looked, you know, coy, like, well, you should know. I'm the governor. He didn't say anything. He just smirked and was
said
coy
it on the
about
podcast.
It.
But if that letter was for public release and it says it, why wouldn't he answer that?
Why is he so hesitant?
Exactly. And you've got it in writing. Holy smoke.
So the whole thing, just folks, listen. He spent a lot of time justifying how bad California is. No question. I think California's terrible. And I would like to see a state split. Remember,
but that's a state takeover.
Exactly.
That's a state takeover. If they're only bumping out 3 counties, Sacramento County, San Francisco County, and L.A. County, they're bumping those 3 out, then the rest of it is a state takeover.
Yes.
Okay. I'm just checking.
On the West Virginia model. Well, what does Sacramento, San Francisco, and L.A. have to say about all this?
Well, L.A. can say a heck of a lot because 51% of the population of the state is from L.A. South. Yeah. L.A. South, they outvote us every single time, yes. So it does not matter.
Well, I remember, and of course you guys do too, when we first started our State of Jefferson movement to separate from California, we did it openly.
Absolutely.
We got signatures, and we had to have a certain number of signatures from each county that represented a due amount of that county's voters.
That's right.
We went to boards of supervisors to show support. We saw, and I think in Tehama County, it was on the ballot to show support. We talked about it. We were on the air. Yeah, everything. Mm-hmm. We tried to make it a movement of the people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where is New California's transparency?
And
we purposely did not elect a governor and representatives because it wasn't our job. We were just getting support from people. We weren't foisting something upon them.
And we were trying to get it initiated so we can do a state split. So then when that starts, there will be a protocol and a process that has to be followed for people running for elected office.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's 100% right. And you know, the thing is that they appointed these people. These people are self-appointed.
But,
I mean, Ron Plum is the senator of Shasta.
Yeah.
And Patty is the assembly. I mean, are you guys serious? Yourself appointed. I mean, Jimmy Christmas. Anyway, Mark Baird is on the line. I believe it's Mark Baird.
Who?
Mark?
Who?
Mark,
what does he know about this?
Yeah. Mark, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
I know you're not.
It just sounds like a repeat. I think we probably had this conversation 500 times. But,
yep.
You can't. It's the circular firing squad.
Mm-hmm.
The conservatives seem to manifest every single time someone tries to do something good. And then there's an ego that gets involved, and that was Paul. He had a pretty big ego, still does, apparently. And he just wanted to be king, and here he goes. And if there are people that are dumb enough to believe this hogwash, I don't know what to say to him except it diminishes the chances to do something real. That's all. And, you know, when we did the State of Jefferson, as Janet pointed out, we went to boards of supervisors, we gathered signatures, we filed petitions lawfully with the state of California and with the California Assembly and the California Senate. Lots and lots and lots of them. We made tens of thousands of phone calls. We wrote thousands and thousands and thousands of letters and emails. We involved people in the process. We had open conventions for which there was no fee. And those things cost us thousands and thousands of dollars to put on. We went to court. We went through the federal process in federal court. We ran into the Democratic machine in its full-blown glory, who deny justice to people every day, all day, through a supposedly unbiased court system. We ran into a Democratic hack who did the first time in the history of the United States issued a judicial order and then overturned her own order because she had illicit conversations with a court that wasn't briefed on the case and changed the order to something that was diametrically opposed to her own order, and that within 3 days, what she just woke up with a headache and thought, well, you know what, I think I'm just going to take it back and do it different. These things are all ridiculous, and they're in opposition to the constitutional republic that the founding fathers instituted. And New California is just, they're just part of the problem, not part of the solution, because what they do is they divert attention away from something that has basis in law, basis in constitutional law, real basis, not imagined or invented basis. We were operating off Article 4, Section 3. We were operating off Title 8 of the United States Code that declares that any time you have a voter dilution or a lack of representation case, a federal judge will appoint a three-judge panel unless the case is frivolous or without merit. In open court, Judge Mueller and the United States Attorney admitted that the case was not frivolous and it was not without merit. So the judge violated the law in making her ruling. She denied justice to the people of California. She denied liberty to the people of California. And to me, and this is just my humble opinion, Paul Preston and his bucket of useful idiots are just doing the same thing because they are making light of the effort through which we could liberate ourselves from California. And there will never be liberation. There's just going to be a paycheck for a few people charging for conferences and hiding behind the secrecy. And, you know, I don't know what to say about it, except I feel sorry for people that get sucked in so easily.
Wow. Mark, we're going to go to a break. Can you hang on with us?
Sure.
Oh, great.
Take another breath and you can go back at it.
Yeah, you betcha. Okay. Well, it seems like, time has come.
For 51.
Oh, please, let's get her done.
Amen.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. You've been in an accident with your vehicle. You call your insurance. The first thing they do is tell you where to go to get an estimate and repairs. Well, tell them where to go and come see us at Coachmaster. They're sending you to their discount repair shop to get the cheapest repair possible. This is not in your best interest. You have the right to choose Coachmaster to do your repairs. All we need is your claim number and we can handle the entire process. At Coachmaster, we don't repair your vehicle for the insurance company. We repair it for you. We use quality parts and products to ensure the highest quality repairs. Your vehicle will be returned to a pre-loss condition. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Need help with your health insurance? We've got you covered. At Shasta Community Health Center, we offer this free service to our community. Our enrollment counselors can assist you with new applications, renewals, troubleshooting, and answering your questions about covered California plans or Medi-Cal, also known as Medicaid or Partnership Health Plan. We're here to help you make the best choice for you and your family. Call our outreach and enrollment team at 530-229-5117 to get help today. Shasta Community Health Center, because SCHC cares.
Reading Rodeo is back in Buckin' on the River, May 14th through 17th. Celebrating 77 years of nonstop rodeo action, world champion cowboys competing in the largest four-day rodeo in Northern California. Don't miss our 77th annual Reading Rodeo tradition. Get your tickets now only at readingrodeo.com before they're gone. Reading Rodeo, where the West comes alive, May 14th through 17th.
This is an encore presentation of Jefferson State of Mind on KCNR.
I wonder how you're feeling.
show me the way. Peter Griffin.
We're showing the way.
Yeah.
And it is not the Paul Preston way, folks.
No, it's just, that's just bizarre. I mean, in the podcast, he actually said that they were using a method that China and Vietnam used. you can't even make this up, and these just people's eyes glaze over. Anyway, Mark Baird, you were really doing some great explanation of this whole thing. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I mean, Paul's right about that. Mao used this method in the Great Leap Forward, and, you know, it only resulted in the death of 50 or 60 million of his own people, which he later said might not have been his best idea. But it's true, and those things are so un-Republican, it's ridiculous. But, you know, in 1689, John Locke, who was admittedly the founder of modern theories of Republican law and liberty, you know, he said that the world is in constant flux. Things are constantly changing. In 1689, he said this. He must have known something, you think. And that even representation becomes unequal and disproportionate to the reasons that it was first established. We know that's true, and we have said this because the effort that we have to form a separate state from California. We don't want to leave the Union. We just don't want to be part of California anymore because California has no liberty. California is an authoritarian socialist state that denies people liberty, their money, and everything constantly, and we all know that. In fact, a million people who left last year know it well, and the million that leave again this year, and the tens of thousands of businesses that flee this place, look, they're not leaving because of the weather. They're not leaving because they hate their neighbors. They're not leaving because they hate the scenery or the geography or anything else. They're leaving because they can't deal with the government anymore, and the only way they see forward is to leave. We have a different thought. Our way is to stay and fight to restore liberty. We recognize, because of three court cases that we've been bitching about for years, Gray versus Sanders, Reynolds versus Sims, and Baker versus Carr, and that caused liberty in the United States to disappear into the mob rule of simple democracy, where 51% of the people can take anything they want away from the minority. And it's so in California, because 51% of the legislative representation now lies from the Los Angeles County line south. And it might even be more than 51%. I haven't done the arithmetic lately. But that means that two-thirds of the state of California is underrepresented. And when you get to Northern California, the northern third of the landmass of California has six or seven state-level representatives, depending upon how you count them, because some of them share counties that are not in the northern third. And the lower part of California has all the rest. Oh, I mean, we have one state senator for 11 counties. Los Angeles County has 11 state senators, and they have 15 if you count the state senators that share counties that are outside of Los Angeles. So there you have it. I mean, Los Angeles County alone has about a third of the representation in the state Senate, and the other 57 counties share the other two-thirds. And Northern California has one. And so I just find that to be so disproportionate that it defies the logic the founders had when they created representation, which was each state has two senators regardless of population because geography must have representation as well, or the populous states would simply railroad the less populated states and two or three states would run the country forever and ever and the rest of us wouldn't have any say. Well, in California, two or three counties run the state and the rest of us don't have any say at all. And whatever ridiculous and idiotic thing they come up with, we're all stuck with it. For example, people in Los Angeles want wolves. So my county has a bunch of wolves killing people's stock. And Los Angeles County doesn't have any wolves because they didn't want them in their backyard. They don't want wolves in Golden Gate Park in San Francisco. They want them at my house. And most of those people couldn't even tell you where my house was. And the same with some of the other counties, Shasta County, Lassen, Modoc, all of these counties, we have literally zero representation. Because even the representative that we do have votes with the money, not with the people. And where, why the money? Because he needs the money to get reelected. He or she need the money to get reelected. And they don't care what happens in counties that don't have significant numbers of votes because they don't give enough money to get them reelected. They're not afraid of the voters here. And back when California had one state senator per county, he had to be afraid of his voters because they could get rid of him. And it was cheap and easy to get rid of a bum if you happen to elect one. Now, 97% of the time, you never get rid of an incumbent because it's too expensive, and therefore his loyalty lies with the money and not with the people. Those are the things we're trying to fix. Paul Preston doesn't have his eye on any of that stuff. They can't quote you law. They can't quote you constitutional circumstances. They can't quote you a method that is legal, ethical, and moral with which we can regain our liberty. And we can. The problem is people just don't care enough to do it.
Well, Paul Preston seems to be under the impression that the president is going to step in and do all of this for New California.
That's what he's pushing.
The problem
he's been under that impression for 10 years that I know of for sure. And I remember him going on when Trump was president before about, oh, and next month he's going to step in and give me the keys to the Capitol, and we'll go form a new state. And,
well, California is sovereign. We are a sovereign state. Mm-hmm. And Trump does not own or control California. He doesn't have the authority to give California to whomever he chooses. And he certainly is not going to turn over California to a handful of unelected people. That violates the whole premise of a republic right there.
A lot of this started when Paul Preston, who was a complete Jefferson advocate, and basically, I'm just going to say it, everything Marx ever taught, that's what Paul tries to emulate. He just copies whatever we do. And the thing that he was talking about is at the time there was a thing called Brexit, was it? What was it?
CalExit.
No, not CalExit.
Oh, Brexit.
Brexit. And Nigel Farage, according to Paul Preston, when he was doing his Agenda 21 radio, was the most important man in the world. President Trump was number two, and Mark Baird was number three. Paul was saying, well, I'm going back to, you know, to this Republican thing, and, you know, I'm going to talk with people back there, and, you know, and we're going to talk about it, and the president should be there, and blah, 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 blah. So I asked him, because he was coming back saying that basically, again, well, there's some things that I know, but I can't really tell you, you know. And so I said, well, why don't we get Mark Baird, who you say is number two, with Farage being one, number three, how about we have number three talk to number two, and we can kind of get an idea of, you know, some of the things that we want to talk about as far as state split and where Congress could go and that kind of thing, and talk to some representatives. Paul says, no, they only want to talk to me. I'm going to say that again. They only want to talk to me. So I remember Mark saying something that was pretty funny. He said, well, how about the guy who gets coffee for the president? That was it. Go ahead. This is great.
I said, if what you say is true, you know, that I'm number three or four or five, and I don't remember what he said about that, you know, how about get me 5 minutes on the phone with the guy that gets coffee for number three or two? Or I got even get me 5 minutes on the phone with a guy that dumps the trash for three or two, and maybe I can get an idea across, and someone might want to listen to us. And yeah, he got pretty mad about it, and I was being flippant, you know, I wasn't being polite, and he's hated Jefferson, he's hated me ever since. I don't care, I'm fine with that. You know what? I don't lose 5 minutes sleep about who Paul Preston likes or doesn't like. But what what does bother me is, once again, it is conservatives and otherwise good people who are swallowing a line that is not true and will not come to fruition because there is no legal path forward for what he is saying. There's no legal, ethical, moral, or constitutional path forward based upon their principles and their premises to form a new state or break away from California. And so it's a lot of probably otherwise good people who are absolutely wasting their time when we could be pulling in unison, and we could actually get a state that would restore liberty, or we could break California up into smaller states where everybody could have liberty.
Right.
And that's the point. You need representation that is close to the people, because that way the person you elect is, in the words of Thomas Paine, is not free to form a separate agenda from those who elect him. And that's the opposite of what we have today. Every person in Sacramento, all of our congressional representatives, none of them feel an agenda that's very close to the people, because they don't have to, and you can't make them. They vote with the money. They do. It's just a reality. It's not good or bad. It's just the truth. And we can fix that if we would pull together, but we don't seem to be able to do it.
Mark, we have another caller on the line. Stay with us, please. But, Lori, what say you? Lori, are you there?
Yep. Hey, good morning, everyone. I just want to be very, very quick. I was in the room of silence. I couldn't hear everything. But just wanted to say, I get the New California emails, and they had one listing yesterday, the 12th, at being pro-Tesla, like go to the Santa Clarita dealership. It was, like, I don't know, 9 to 11. And they're calling it rural L.A. County. They're asking for these three counties to, you know, protest, bring your flags, and go Doge and all of that. But the Tesla plant left California. How many years ago did Elon pull out? So that's kind of weird. And we know EV is not green. It's not recyclable. There's a zillion problems with electric vehicles. Pay attention. Charging stations, if it's too cold, it won't work. They're blowing up. The batteries, what do you do when they die out and they're dead? The second announcement I got from New California yesterday was regarding Stop the Chemtrail conference, Saturday, May 24th. I called the number on the notice, and I said, you know, using the term chemtrail is not a scientific term. If people go to that, they're going to get non-science. And I said, who's speaking? What's going on? How much? It's a Saturday, the 24th, from 4 to 7:15. I think she said free. And I'm just like, well, who's the moderator? Who's the speaker? I said, is Dane Wigington a part of this? Because he can correct a lot of you on your poor terminology. Anyway, she was quite a ding-dong, and she's just saying, yeah, it's everything you said in the beginning, Janet. She was just mimicking, like she's one of these, what's it called? You're brainwashed, you're indoctrinated, and the word cult came up. I am just concerned. I mean, if somebody's fighting for their life and has been sick off and on, I don't see how they can have a prestigious position, again, not voted for. So I have no intention to go to this thing and repon, or however you pronounce R-I-P-O-N, California.
Ripping
us off, fine. So if anybody wants to call this Linda person, I spoke to her last night for 10 minutes. She used a phone number, area code 209-495-9187. I'll repeat, area code 209-495-9187. And lastly, Sovereign Minds is having a live callers taken tomorrow, April 14th, from 11 o'clock. I'm not sure if it's a 1 hour or 2 hour, but that was the update I got from Linda Kent this past week.
That's it.
I'm concerned. New California is wow.
Well, the thing is that stupid is as stupid does. You know, and when you really think about it, I mean, reality is, how can people swallow this if they've even read the Constitution? I'll say that again. How can they even swallow this if they've read the Constitution? And the simple fact of, I mean, the insanity of all this. I'm not going to show my ID to somebody I don't know, but here's the bottom line. I'll bet there's a lot of money floating around. $250 to go to a convention to hear a speaker who you don't know who it is yet till you give them $250.
And you don't even know where
it is. And you don't even know where it is because of security concerns. I mean, give me a break. Who do these guys think they are? It's nuts.
Those are red flags. What flags are people supposed to bring to these rallies?
Exactly.
The current American flag, the Jefferson flag, which is kind of like, that's kind of bastardizing the blood, sweat, and tears. Some of us more than others, so I appreciate what you're sharing, and I'm going to go back to taking notes. Thanks for taking my call, you guys.
You bet.
Happy birthday, Wynn.
Thank you, Lori.
Happy birthday, Brad.
So, Mark, were you able to hear anything that Lori said? Mark, are you there? Must have lost Mark. Okay. Anyway, the thing that's so bizarre about this, again, is the type of thing where these constitutional conventions that they've done, I know that people have gone to them, and they've started out with a little bit about about the Constitution, but it's been more of a thing to where it's been people talking about everything from the Muslim Brotherhood to anything else. And charging money, enormous amounts of money. We didn't charge money for our conventions ever. You could pass the hat.
They're going to have a constitutional convention, but it's closed. It's private. You can't.
Well, if you pay, you can.
No, no. At this, they're going to actually be discussing and talking and voting on the Constitution, but it's closed. And that's separate from their convention.
All right. So Mark is back.
Mark is back.
All right.
There you are, sir.
Yeah. I could hear about half of what the last caller said, but along what Janet said, they're going to have a closed convention for Constitution. They're probably going to read the one that Janet wrote.
I like mine.
What are they going to do? What's the $250 for?
Well, that's at some other thing. They're not advertising where they're going to talk about the Constitution and vote on the Constitution.
Well, don't they have to wait for the new representatives that they select? Don't they have to wait? By the way, he did say there was 57 counties. Aren't there 58?
There are 58.
No, I thought there were, yeah. So why would you have representatives in 58 counties if you're not going to include three or four of them? Why would you have representatives in counties you don't include?
Maybe he misspoke.
Oh, you think? Like when he said that there are 57 assembly people?
Yeah.
I was the representative for Siskiyou County on his website for 2 years, and I only got one phone call in that 2 years, and I talked that guy into going with Jefferson. And I said, I don't know how I got on Preston's website, because I was never asked to be the representative from Siskiyou County, and nor was I, and nor would I ever be for that bunch. Obviously, Siskiyou County is not involved, because the official representative from New California only got one call in two and a half years.
Just a warning to all of you people who are following New California. Please listen to this man and what he is saying with a healthy dose of skepticism. Be cynical about this. Just go into it with a sense of disbelief and prove it to me. Because you have to use your critical thinking skills at this point. What is being said is not accurate. It's not true.
And hold on to your wallet.
And if President Trump has a problem with California as it is, and actually Kevin Kiley was on YouTube with a whole list of 10 things that are being investigated by the federal government in California, and they're righteous, and they are concerning. But the solution is not President Trump taking away California from the people and handing it over to Paul Preston. The solution for Trump is to deny funds. And that's what he's going to do if things get harsh.
And the only jurisdiction he has.
Yeah, he cannot take over the state. It's not a political plum.
I find it odd that Preston is the only one that thinks the president has the jurisdiction to take the keys away from Governor Newsom and hand them over to him. And I find it also odd that he would be more palatable to people than Governor Newsom, because he's even less transparent than the crook that has the office now. But I do see that, and President Trump, he must be playing it pretty close to the vest if he in fact knows about this, which he doesn't. Because he's simply going about a constitutional method to rein the state of California in and stop the fraud, waste, and abuse that California is perpetrating on its own taxpayers and the taxpayers of the United States by withholding federal funds for example, giving $27 billion in Medicaid to illegals and, you know, little dumb things like that. But I never hear anything about New California on a national stage. Every couple of years, Fox News runs a 30-second deal on it, but it doesn't seem to be catching fire around here anyway.
Well, I have a question.
Keep in mind, too, that Governor Newsom went to visit our congressman for District 1, and he was in Washington, D.C. at Congressman LaMalfa's office, and he was strategically seated in front of the Jefferson flag hanging in the congressional office in Washington, D.C. for Doug LaMalfa. So that tells you everything right there, that he is subservient to Jefferson.
Well, do you think that he is? Is Congressman LaMalfa in insurrection against the new state of California? Do you think that Governor Preston will
Here's one.
Go after the congressman?
Here's one for you. In the new California Constitution, all current legislators and representatives will be banned for life from holding office in New California.
Say that again real slow, because that is almost hard to believe. So he is saying that he has jurisdiction over the freedom of these people. Go ahead.
Yes. In the new California Constitution, all current legislators representing the state of California will be banned for life from holding office in the state of New California, which sounds extremely totalitarian to me.
Wow.
Why would you ban people?
Well, that's funny, because the only people who can be banned for life from government service are those who are engaged in insurrection or open rebellion against the government of the United States. So I would submit that maybe Paul and his buddies might be banned from government service for life, but no one else would be.
And what was really disturbing to me at this meeting was when Paul Preston said that, there were cheers and applause from the audience, which is totally against our Republican form of government.
Yeah, and I understand that people don't like what's going on now, but it doesn't change the Constitution. My suggestion to people, because I know you only got a few minutes left, is that, look, read the California Constitution. It's dry and it's boring, but read it. It's pretty eye-opening. Read the United States Constitution. Take some notes. It doesn't take very long. Look at the cases, Baker versus Carr, Gray versus Sanders, Reynolds versus Sims, because that's how a Republican governor, a Republican state's attorney general, and a Republican chief justice of the United States Supreme Court stole your liberty. That's how it happened. And we can undo that, and we should undo that, because it is the only constitutional path forward for us in order to regain the liberty that we have allowed the state of California to steal from us.
And these people in New California apparently are not aware that when they become a new state in the United States, their constitution will have to be approved by the federal government. And if there is a ban in there of certain people, it violates the constitution federally, because the requirements for federal legislators are already there. And it doesn't say you cannot have been a member of another state.
Your state constitution has to satisfy Article 4, Section 4, because the relief from a non-Republican form of government is legislative. So part of the Enabling Act for any new state is approval of the constitution, because it is lawful, constitutional, and Republican in nature. So if you have un-Republican, unconstitutional bans in your document, you're never going to make it, because Congress won't allow the Constitution to become law.
Oh, New California people, please, please, open up your eyes, open up your ears, open up your brain.
Think. I mean, the thing is if you either do or you don't. I had a lady coming to me and, I think you guys are wonderful, but, Paul Preston has the right idea. I mean, crying, literally crying. I said, it's not a big deal. I mean, it's okay. The thing is that you've got to understand that when you hear this and somebody's asking you for money, number one. Number two, when they're talking about things when it comes to the Constitution, you need to know what's in it. You need to know what's in it. You need to know what is legal, not legal. You need to know what the truth is and not what the truth isn't, not just because it sounds good. Mark, we have 1 minute, buddy.
Well, I'd like to tell a story to uninform people about the little birdie who fell out of the nest. Little bird fell out of the nest. He couldn't fly. A fox came along and pooped on him to protect him from predators and to keep him warm. The little birdie started crying because someone pooped on him. Another fox came by, heard the little bird screaming, and he got him out of there, and then he ate him. So bad things happen to good people. Not everybody trying to hurt you is really hurting you, but not everybody who says they're going to help you is really trying to help you.
With that.
And you need to read, and you need to be aware, and you need to know the difference between the good fox and the bad fox.
No blank on that one.
Mark Baird, time has come.
For 51.
And we're going to get it done.
Amen.
We stand for the flag and pledge our allegiance. We're the last of a dying breed. Last of a dying breed.